Our first Bible reading is found on page 1323, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. If you're looking for it in your Bible, it's a very small book, about two-thirds of the way through. So page 1323.
Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said,
"In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord."
And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land.
Our second reading is found in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 38, on page 1391. And the title is The Sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, that is Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." This is the word of God.
Thank you for that reading. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Lovely to see you, those here in person and those joining us online as well this morning. If we haven't met yet, my name's Travis. I'm the visiting preacher for this week and the next couple of weeks afterwards. We're working our way through Jonah. Today's up to chapter 2. Can I just encourage you to keep your Bibles open? That way you can follow along as we work through the text together. There's some transcripts up the back. I've done a few extra copies today, so if you want to follow along with one of those, then they're there for you. And let me encourage you also to test all things that you hear. Well, remember back to your most recent denture or dentist visit, whatever it might be. The dentist, I'm sure many of you will agree, is one of those bone-chilling moments in life. So I'm not sure why all the advertising has patients smiling. Did you notice that? It could be the sound of the drill. Maybe it's the air suction hose. For me, it's that choking feeling you get with having multiple instruments stuffed down your throat simultaneously while trying to swallow. The scariest part, however, of the dentist visits, apart from the bill, is that we are all confronted with that universal truth: you reap what you sow. The dentist visit for many brings us once again face to face with the inevitable consequences of our bad choices. If one sows in bad eating habits, then one reaps poor teeth health. If one sows in occasional or half-hearted brushing, then one reaps fillings. If one sows in a refusal to floss, then one enjoys decay between their teeth. When it comes to the dentist, we all get exactly what we deserve. And I, for one, don't like it. Come and talk to me later about bad teeth stories. Well, our passage today from Jonah chapter 2 stands at the polar opposite of that universal truth. God gives to the deserving what they don't deserve. God's just sentence, pronounced upon sinners, as in the case of Jonah last week, is death for defiance. Yet today, the overriding point is that for those who have sown in sin, that is, for those who have ignored God and run the other way in life, God intervenes so that they don't reap death. Or to put it in Jonah's words from verse 9, salvation comes from the Lord. If you'd like to not reap what you've sown, then Jonah chapter 2 is for you. If you're not clear how God has intervened so that you don't reap what you sow, then Jonah 2 is for you. And, or if you are ignoring God and running the other way in life, then Jonah chapter 2 is for you too. No matter where you are, listen up and hear Jonah's story, and maybe God might bring you to share in Jonah's joyous discovery, in Jonah's triumphant declaration, salvation comes from the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, in the past, you spoke through the prophets in many and varied ways. But we give thanks that in these last days you have spoken a final word in your Son. Father, please help each one of us to listen this morning to your words, the ones from the past and in the present. Help me to speak it clearly, truthfully, and with boldness. Amen. Well, last week, if you weren't here, we ended at chapter 1, verse 16. Leaving the chapter there left that question pondering in our heads and ringing in our ears. What happened to Jonah? As quick as a snap, he's just been thrown overboard and swallowed by this ferocious, monstrous sea. He thought he was going to die. The sailors thought he was going to die. God, it seemed, wanted him to die. What happened to Jonah? Is he dead? Is Jonah going to get what his blatant defiance to God deserves? Is God going to inflict upon Jonah the death penalty? And so, much to our surprise, we read in verse 17 that just as God had sent a wind to throw Jonah into the sea, so too God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah from the sea. The fish does what Jonah did not. It obeyed its creator instantaneously and without hesitation. The Lord, who is the God of heaven, who made the sea, controls not only it, but also those creatures who teem its waters. Take note, we're not told, I'm sorry, that it's a whale. It could have been, who knows? But at this stage, the emphasis is that God provided it. God mounts a special rescue operation. This is God's appointed instrument of deliverance, God's aquatic submarine to bring Jonah back to the land of the living. Remember, Jonah's already been punished. He has already been left for dead, swallowed by the sea. God didn't send the fish to punish Jonah further. No, the fish rather rescues and preserves Jonah's life. A point which will become clearer as we work through Jonah's prayer. And so we are told that Jonah's confined quarters is to be the stomach of this big fish for 3 days and three nights. It takes 3 whole days to get Jonah back on track. 3 days and three nights was the length of time needed to determine one's death. That means Jonah was, by the world's standards at least, dead and buried. Take note, this is no parable, no myth, not a metaphor. No, you may have prayed with fish inside you in the past, but you are about to hear the prayer of a man who really was inside a fish. Verse 17 provides for us the setting for what is the first of Jonah's prayers. In verse 6 of chapter 1, the captain commands Jonah to get up and call on his God. Jonah finally does it. Chapter 2, verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Up until this point in time, the story has been action-packed and fast, but now it slows right down. Jonah is enclosed by God's decree for 3 days and three whole nights. At some point during those 3 days, Jonah prays. Prayer is just another way of saying talking with God. Jonah's talk could even reach God from the belly of an immersed fish. His talk to God is in fact more of a song or a poem of gratitude, whereby he relives his recent experience of being thrown overboard and rescued by God. Let's listen once more to his emotion-packed prayer to the Lord. Here we go. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. As Jonah speaks to God from the belly of the fish, he remembers an earlier period, a time after he'd been thrown overboard, a time when he called to the Lord. Did you notice that in verses 2 and 7? Jonah at some point in the past called to the Lord. He called for help. Jonah remembered the Lord. Jonah prayed. What direction were Jonah's movements in chapter 1? Do you remember? Down, weren't they? Jonah went down to Joppa, down to the ship, down under the deck, down into a deep sleep, and down to Tarshish to get away from the Lord. We might add also that Jonah went down into the water. Jonah is on a downward spiral. Jonah's prayer in verse 7 is the first action in a long line of Jonah's actions to go up. And up it went, right up to God, right up to God's place, God's holy temple, and into God's ears, we might say. Just as Jonah recalls this past prayer, so Jonah recalls a point in time in the past when God answered. Did you see that in verse 2? The Lord answered me. You listened to my cry. In verse 6, you brought my life up from the pit. This prayer, which is recorded for us from inside the fish, isn't the first time Jonah prayed. Nor is the fish vomiting Jonah God's answer to his prayer. God has already answered Jonah's prayer. What makes up most of chapter 2 is Jonah's second prayer as he celebrates God's answer to his first prayer. That means that Jonah wasn't praying, "Get me out of this fish, God," as you might think. No, the fish isn't the problem, it's God's solution. This point becomes clearer when we consider the situation Jonah saw himself in. Let's take a look at Jonah's words. In verse 2, he was in distress from deep in the realm of the dead. Verse 3, he was in the depths, in the very heart of the seas, swirled by the currents, swept over by the waves and breakers. Verse 5, engulfed by threatening waters, surrounded by the deep with seaweed wrapped around his head. Verse 6, he had sunk to the roots of the mountains, barred in by the earth. Verse 7, his life was ebbing away. This isn't a picture of a man splashing about on the surface of the sea, bopping up and down like a kid's toy. Nor is this the picture of a man stuck in the stomach of a fish. Jonah says that he sunk. He sunk like lead. Jonah relives in his prayer from the fish a time when he was at the seabed, entombed by water, on the very brink of death. Jonah was a dead man swimming, we might say. He had reached the point of no return. Jonah was drowning. There are apparently 7 stages to a drowning person, experiences. It begins with 1, panic and a violent struggle to return to the surface. 2, a period of calmness. 3, swallowing of fluid, followed by vomiting. 4, a terminal gasp. 5, on unconsciousness. 6, possible seizures. And lastly, 7, death. I think it's probably fair to say from Jonah's own eyewitness account of what happens that he eventually reached step 5, unconsciousness. Not a glimmer of hope. Not a chance of survival. Jonah, through his own downward movements, had been brought by God all the way down, right to rock bottom. That's where Jonah first prayed. That's where Jonah's prayer rose from. But did you notice? Jonah is not only physically at the bottom, he's also spiritually there too. Verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep. All your waves and breakers swept over me." Verse 4, "I said, I have been banished from your sight." Jonah, you might say, was physically and spiritually worlds away from God. If the temple at this point in God's story is where one goes to meet with, to speak to God, then Jonah is at the other end of the universe, far away physically and spiritually. And yet spatial and spiritual distance makes no difference when it comes to talking to God. Jonah's prayer, offered at the physical and spiritual end of the universe, reaches all the way back to God. That's coverage to make even Telstra jealous, isn't it? What does a person cry out for when standing at death's door? What does a person call to God for when they realize their separation from him? Jonah couldn't say a word. He was underwater. Jonah speaks a silent prayer in his heart, it seems. In fact, it's just a look to God's dwelling place. The look of a helpless sinner for mercy. Save me. Save me, says his look. That must have been the essence of Jonah's prayer, because that's how God answered. Jonah's prayer shot through like an SMS to God. God listened to the message and replied by sending a fish for the purpose of swallowing Jonah. God's fish brought Jonah's life from the pit, as Jonah celebrates in verse 8. He didn't cling to worthless idols like the sailors once had and miss out on God's grace. The sailors taught us already the uselessness of clinging to idols as opposed to the Lord. No, Jonah clung to the Lord. He prayed to God and asked for help. He experienced God's grace. And so, like the sailors, Jonah shared in their praise. In the same way as the sailors did, Jonah promises to sacrifice and make vows to the Lord. Jonah might have gone down to the bottom of the ocean. Jonah might still be in the belly of the fish. But Jonah is brought eventually to the same place as the sailors have already been. They both worship the Lord, the God of heaven, as saved men. With one final shout of adoration, Jonah reaches the climax of his prayer. Salvation comes from the Lord. He did not and cannot save himself. Jonah is saved from the consequences of his sin. Jonah is saved from certain death. Jonah is saved from separation from God. Make no mistake, it is the Lord who saved this undeserving sinner by his kindness, strength, and wisdom. And so, just as the Lord provided the submarine fish to swallow Jonah and rescue him, so now in verse 10 we read that the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The fish preserved Jonah's life and had been for 3 days and nights, transporting him back to the land of the living, to that other environment made by God and under his control, dry land. Unable to stomach such self-centeredness, and by God's command, the fish spews Jonah out. The fish obediently and promptly and probably gladly regurgitates up this indigestible object and swims off with a flick of his tail, ready once more to do his master's bidding. Mission accomplished. Well, it's a wonderful true story, isn't it? A real story, a story that's relevant for God's people, for all people today. Let's think about its relevance in three steps. First of all, impossible. There is no way, after reading Jonah chapter 2, you could leave church this morning thinking, I don't need saving. There is no way, after reading Jonah chapter 2, you could leave church this morning thinking, I can save myself. That would be impossible from this passage. There is no shadow of doubt. Jonah needed saving. He could not save himself. He was dead. Think about it. The world promises us that if we do what we want, when we want, how we want, only then are we truly alive. It's what young people long to attain. It's what middle-aged people strive to hang on to and enjoy. And it's what older people grieve to lose. But learn from Jonah. His autonomy ended in certain death. Jonah did what he wanted and ran from God and was swallowed by God's wrath in death. He wasn't nearly dead. Jonah says he was dead. In the same way, the Bible says that all people are dead in their trespasses and sins, blindly following the world's ways, enslaved to their own sinful hearts, and ruled by the devil and deserving of God's wrath. Jonah's hopeless position under the ocean is really yours and mine. We all are in the same boats, or rather, we all are really out of the boat at the bottom of the ocean, dead and buried, and need saving from ourselves and from God's just anger at us. And as you no doubt know, dead people can't do anything to save themselves. Jonah couldn't swim to the surface. Jonah couldn't grow gills or flippers or even summon a submarine. He was as good as dead. In the same way, the Bible says that you cannot save yourself, not by keeping God's rules, not by keeping your own standards. God said, did he not, to Adam, that if he ate the fruit, he would surely die. And that's exactly what happens when we all rebel against God. If you're thinking, I don't need saving, then God says that you are dead and you just don't know it. Make no mistake, without God, we are dead and need saving and are unable to save ourselves. Possible. It's possible today, after reading Jonah chapter 2, that you might leave thinking, okay, I can't save myself, but perhaps I can contribute something towards my salvation. Maybe I can help. You might be thinking, well, didn't Jonah pray and reach out to God? What saved Jonah really was his prayer, his desire to turn back to God. God couldn't do anything, could he, without that? In the same way, my prayers, my church attendance, my partaking of the Lord's Supper, my Christian works, my goodness, bring something to offer at the table as I bargain with God. Well, such thinking from Jonah 2, which is all too common, is fortunately at odds with the rest of the Bible. Paul says, does he not, that we are saved by grace through faith, and this, that is, grace and faith, are not from yourselves, but the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Likewise, the ability to repent is a gift granted to the undeserving in Acts chapter 11. Every part of us, including our will, is dead to God, which is why Paul says in Romans 3 that no one seeks God, that we all have turned away, not one who does good, not even one. Like Jonah, we bring nothing to the table, contribute nothing but our own defiant disposition and the sinful thoughts and actions to confirm it. Probable. Now this leads to what I think is the probable relevance of Jonah chapter 2. What message should you leave with today from Jonah 2 ringing in your ears and aching in your heart? Well, brothers and sisters, friends, only God can, only God will, and only God did save. What happens in this passage is nothing short of a resurrection. Jonah traveled, did he not, from death to life. He got the opposite of what he deserved. Only God could pull it off. The fish, remember, is his to order. He sent it, no doubt, long before Jonah prayed. God is mighty to save. Only God wanted to save too, All the initiative and desire rests in him. God is kind to save. And only God did it. And he did it not just for Jonah, but when he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus, he did it for us all. God is wise to save. He made us alive and raised us up in Christ in the heavenly places. It's no wonder Jesus looks to Jonah as a picture of his own journey from death to life. And it should be no wonder that what we see in Jonah 2 is a picture of what God does for the Christian, brought back from the dead, brought back from death to life with God. If you've already experienced God's salvation in Christ, then spend your week praising God and make Jonah's prayer your own. Rest fully in your Saviour each day. Salvation belongs to the Lord. If you're yet to meet Jesus, then perhaps today is the day, like Jonah, to cry out to him for rescue, to turn back and say sorry and lift your eyes to him for pardon, for mercy. A visit with God is so different from the dentist. You don't have to reap what you sow with God. God loves to give to the undeserving what they don't deserve: life instead of death. You need saving. You can't save yourself or contribute anything. No, salvation belongs to the Lord. Let's pray.